So what kind of a can of worms did Barclays Bank open when it was caught in that scandal, manipulating the LIBOR interbank interest rate? The basic rate banks charge each other for bank-to-bank daily money exchanges. If the LIBOR isn't real, folks, then nothing is real. In banking, the LIBOR, you might say, is show business.
LIBOR pretty much underpins a lot of trillions of dollars of financial products, ranging from derivatives to individuals' mortgages. And the idea was up to 18 banks get together on a daily basis and submit to the British Bankers Association here in London what they think it would cost them on a daily basis to lend, to borrow money from other banks.
It's the New York Times reporter Mark Scott reporting as the scandal broke. Because the LIBOR is at the center of everything, it raises the question of liability everywhere. Barclays has already signed a non-prosecution agreement and agreed to pay a penalty of $450 million. But with over $50 billion in revenue last year at Barclays, $450 million might just constitute little more than a license to play with the LIBOR. The U.S. Justice Department is now building cases against several financial institutions accused of manipulating interest rates before and after the financial crisis. In a report from our partner, The New York Times, this weekend, an anonymous official said authorities could charge at least one bank in the coming months. Joining us now to discuss this question of liability in an environment that is so arcane and involves gentlemen's agreements among all sorts of banks, such as the British Banking Association, is Peter J. Henning, professor at Wayne State University Law School, writes for The Deal Book for our partner, The New York Times. Welcome back to the program, Professor.
Oh, thank you for having me, John.
So, Peter, if you're the British Banking Association, are you worried about lawyers all over the world coming after you as these revelations come out? Or is there some sort of inherent protection that Barclays appears to have already invoked with this non-prosecution agreement?
Well, the British Bankers Association is really just a conduit for the information. And so the real liability risk here are the other banks. There are a total of 16 banks that contribute to the U.S. dollar LIBOR, and that's what Barclays got caught trying to manipulate. And so it's those banks that really face the question of whether they'll be prosecuted criminally, and then whether anyone inside those banks, any individuals, will be subject to criminal prosecutions.
I guess, Peter Henning, what concerns me is during the financial crisis, we spoke many times about how the ratings agencies were very much involved in maintaining the high rating for these securitized mortgage-backed securities, which turned out to be, in many cases, worthless, if not completely toxic. And those ratings agencies haven't really been charged. No one's really gone after them. Why should any of these institutions be concerned?
Well, it's with the rating agencies, what you had were, I guess, in a sense, bad practices. At least what the Barclays settlement shows is that people inside the bank, individuals, both the traders back around 06, 07, and then some very senior officials in the bank during the height of the financial crisis, were intentionally trying to manipulate the rates. And so LIBOR is so important, just like the credit rating agencies, but at least the prosecutors have now found evidence of individuals who were involved, which makes it easier to charge the bank. And frankly, I expect individuals will be facing criminal charges here. So it may just have been that the credit rating agencies did a better job or did a much worse job at what they did. Here, it looks like prosecutors are on the trail of picking up evidence that will show intentional collusive conduct or even just fraudulent schemes.
And accountability is great. I think transparency is great. We're talking with Peter J. Henning, professor at Wayne State University Law School, who writes for Deal Book for our partner in the New York Times. But, you know, I don't want to sound like Ron Paul here, but isn't there something sort of inherently collusive about getting together and basically deciding, well, what do you think the interest rate should be, Nigel? Well, I think the interest rate should be 1.1%. Well, I think it should be 0.8%. I mean, there's no absolute objective standard. I'm wondering how the prosecutors distinguish between discussing and agreeing versus actual manipulation.
Well, that's what makes this case so interesting. LIBOR doesn't exist. It's not like a product that's manufactured that people can fix prices on. It's a group of people contributing information that creates an estimate. What's interesting about the Barclays settlement is that rather than alleging an antitrust violation, price manipulation, this was part of the settlement was with the fraud section in the criminal division of the Department of Justice. And that indicates that prosecutors are looking at fraud cases, mail, wire fraud, that they engaged in a scheme to try to enrich themselves. So it's not so much the collusiveness, kind of this classic British gentleman's club idea, but that they were trying to steal money from one another. And that might actually be a much more evocative approach, that it's going to appeal to people saying, no, you were just playing games to enrich yourself.
Now, would that suggest that what we're talking about here is not the original sort of meeting where the LIBOR was set on any given day or any given hour, but some sort of paper trail that might exist afterwards where banks, erased numbers or changed numbers that were already official and tried to then trade on those numbers, which would, I think, be much more intuitively a fraud situation?
It could be that, or just that there was a lot more planning that went into this, that there, the paper trail may well say that, you know, here's what we have to do to try to protect ourselves, to try to enhance our derivatives investments, our swaps. I mean, so much of LIBOR impacts these very sophisticated financial instruments that it's going to depend upon what the evidence is, but that there was a plan here to try to manipulate it for their own benefit. And once you see that, then you have a fraud case and you're not worried so much about, you know, were they acting together to submit bids, but was somebody trying to steal from someone else?
The LIBOR, once arcane, never again. Peter J. Henning is professor at Wayne State University Law School. He writes for Dealbook for our partner, The New York Times. He joined us via Skype from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Professor, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.